So we're here tonight to reflect on what Jesus has done. And Jesus actually gives us the reason for his death. And sometimes we come to a scene like this and we wonder, what does it accomplish? What does Jesus' death accomplish? He actually tells us what his death accomplishes. And it's found in John chapter 12, verses 30 through 33. And this is what it says. It says, Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake." This is the Father saying that he is pleased with Jesus. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this so to show by what kind of death he was to die. And so Jesus gives us several reasons why or what his death accomplishes. The first thing is it is judgment against the world. Now, when we say judgment against the world, he's actually saying the world in which it is the way it is now is not the way God intended for it to be. So really, the death of Jesus helps to see how the world should be rearranged or how the world should be arranged. As we look around, there's a total and utter misalignment in our world today, whether it's violence or whether it's power struggles or greed. It is a total misalignment to the way God intended. So the death of Jesus actually judges the world the way it is and helps to rearrange it and to bring the pieces back together that have been broken. A second thing that the death of Jesus accomplishes is that it drives out the ruler of this world. That is Satan, the accuser, the one who is diametrically opposed to God. He is called the accuser. He is called Diablo. He is called the Satan, the one who accuses the people before God. So the cross actually exposes Satan for who he is. The cross actually is the Genesis 3:15 blow, crushing blow to Satan's head. So the death of Jesus does accomplish a second thing, and that is to expose Satan for who he is. The third thing that the death of Jesus accomplishes, it refounds the world. In other words, it is bringing the world back to the way it should be. The text says, if I am lifted up, Jesus is talking about crucifixion, I will draw all people to myself. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am bringing you back home. I am showing you the way of love. I am showing you the way of forgiveness. I am showing you the way of grace. So the death of Jesus accomplishes reunifying us with our Heavenly Father. And so we get an opportunity to hear the death of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus read all over again. And our prayer tonight is that as you hear the story of his suffering and his death all over again, that you would ask God to give you a renewed sense of faith and he would give you sovereign eyes all over again to receive the suffering and the death of Jesus afresh. So we're about to enter into something called a tenebrae service or tenebrae, and that simply means darkness or shadows. And the idea behind the tenebrae service is that what characterizes it is the reading of scripture about Jesus' suffering and death. And as we listen to the story and as readers read, once they finish reading, they will blow out a candle. And the idea is there's a progressive descent into darkness until ultimately we get to the Christ candle and we blow it out, signifying Jesus' death. The idea that we're plunged into darkness and we're sitting with only hope of resurrection. We're sitting in silence, hoping and praying that God breaks the silence with mourning, with light, with shouts of joy of resurrection. So that's what we're about to do. The readers will read and they'll blow out a candle. And then once the final candle is blown out, the Christ candle in the center, that will be the end of our service. And I would love for you, we would love for you to leave in silence. Leaving the auditorium, leaving the sanctuary, no talking and laughing, but literally letting the weight of this moment fill your heart and mind. And so we invite you to enter with us into the shadows.
When it was evening, he reclined at a table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so."
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given him a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews."
And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put him in his own clothes and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Listen to the prophecy from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far off from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth. And from my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him.